Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. And with me, regular contributors Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine and Joe Nocera with the New York Times. And recently, it's been a little hard to miss the fact that a lot of iconic companies, and a lot of them are in the tech sector, have been really struggling recently. We're talking about really big names like HP, Cisco, BlackBerry. And Joe, let me ask you, are the problems that they're facing, is it just that they haven't adapted to this transition to smartphones and the cloud, or is there a bigger story that's happening with them?
Well, it's more a sort of a little of this and a little of that. So take them one at a time. BlackBerry, the world has passed them by, the technology, they're not going to catch up. They're kind of sort of doomed.
But when you look at the other companies like HP or Cisco, what are they facing?
Well, HP has still got the problem that it's had for the last 10 to 15 years, which is, why do you need it? Why do you need what they do? They're a sprawling company with a fantastic legacy and a fairly new CEO, but they're still feeling their way. Cisco, on the other hand, to me, is just a function of slowing markets and so on. IBM is having some of the same problems. Cisco's not going anywhere.
I would actually jump in and say I see some connective tissue between all those stories, and that's that the technology is no longer just about who's making software, who's making hardware. Winners are those that create ecosystems of both hardware, software, data, and surround the customer. So if you think about Apple, if you think about Google, these are ecosystems in which the customer lives. They use the devices, they use the website, the software, the data.
But when you look at these companies in the middle of a stock market that is just soaring ahead and hitting all these new records, is it saying something else, Rana, about what they're facing or what companies in general are facing?
Well, it's possible that they could be canaries in the coal mine in the sense that a lot of people feel that corporate earnings, which are at record highs, are as high as they're going to get. A lot of people are talking about when we're going to have a stock market correction, if the Fed starts pulling back on its asset buying, if interest rates start to rise, it's possible that that could happen. Also, if you look at what really underpins earnings, it's growth. And growth in the U.S. is still muted. And overseas, where a lot of big blue chip companies have gotten over 50% of their growth lately, it's a more bumpy landscape. China is slowing. Europe is completely stagnant, possibly going back into recession. So it's not a great atmosphere right now.
So it's really a combination of some of the own issues they're facing, plus just what's happening around the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so Joe, when you look at some of these stalwarts and the problems that they're having, is it a little bit of a reminder that this too can happen to even companies that we think are strong and solid today, like Google or Amazon,
right,
or
Apple? And that's part of the history of America, really. Companies are born, they have their moment in the sun, they fade. Microsoft is probably one of the great examples, although it still makes a ton of money. I remember being at the Microsoft trial, which is over 10 years ago, antitrust trial, and I remember Microsoft executives on the stand saying, "We have to be paranoid. We have to worry about somebody coming in." And the press would laugh at this. And, of course, it's turned out to be completely true. They just didn't know where it was coming from.
So I'm reminded of what Warren Buffett says about not investing in technology. If you look back at the turn of the last century when people were trading in their horses for cars, that was a big tech shift. But there were 500 automobile companies back then, and there's three big ones now. So even if there's a big shift that everybody knows is happening, it's not always easy to pick the right company.
Well, one of the things you talked about recently, Rana, was how Yahoo is planning for this big multi-billion dollar stock buyback. And it's not just Yahoo doing it. You've got some auto parts companies. You have railroads. A lot of them are doing this, and it pushes up the stock price in the short term. But is it saying something else about what's going on with the company?
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of academics actually that feel that share buybacks are often the kind of death knell for a company in terms of their longer term market position. And actually, if you look back to
because it's artificially pushing up the price?
Exactly. It always pushes back the price. You pull shares off the market, you make something more scarce, the price is going to go up. But that's a sugar high. That's not really fundamentally changing the corporate strategy. And if you look back to the 1990s, as share buybacks rose since then, and they are now at record highs, spending on R&D actually fell. So you could argue that share buybacks and innovation do not go hand in hand.
So then what do we need to get these companies to really start growing and making better profits?
Well, what you really need is a better economy. You need more consumer confidence. You need companies to start thinking they can hire again. We've sort of been frozen the last few years in terms of consumers and consumer confidence. And if you really want the corporations to get chugging again, they need to start spending again.
I totally agree with that. And if you look at the numbers, October, the Conference Board consumer confidence number was down. It was down again in November, which is so interesting because, again, historically, if you look at the S&P and confidence, they tend to rise together. But now you have the markets up and confidence down. That makes me worried about a correction.
And yet today is Black Friday and everyone is gorging on spending. I'm sure the two of you are going to run out in a moment and buy your flat screen TVs.
My gosh, I'd rather have root canal than shop on Friday.
But you know, the reality is that even with consumer confidence going down, consumers have still been spending in a way. So how do we square the circle?
I think the jobs numbers have been pretty good. And I think that that has offset some of the lower confidence due to things like the shutdown and the problems with Obamacare and the rollout. I think we're going to have an okay spending season, but nothing to write home about.
Here's the tried and true prediction. No matter what happens in reality, after Black Friday, all the news stories will say it was fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. Then at the end of the season, all the news stories will say, oh, it was such a disappointment after all.
As long as you don't say it in the same day, you're fine.
Right.
Well, why don't we look ahead to some of the other stories you two are watching. Joe, what's on your radar?
Well, the Supreme Court recently agreed to hear a case around Halliburton, and it's a securities class action case. The Supreme Court has consistently, over the last few years, cut back on consumer protections and abilities to bring class action lawsuits. And one thinks that they're taking this case precisely so they can take more turf away from class action.
And continue to limit the ability file class actions.
Yep.
Rana, what are you paying attention to?
So I'm paying attention to Iran and the nuclear deal that just came in the last few days and the fact that sanctions may be lifted in Iran. That's going to mean good things for the economy there. And it's also going to mean more oil at some point, probably 6 months from now, on the market. I'm fascinated, though, about what that's going to mean for the political situation in Iran, because if you look at the fact that sanctions are what actually elected Hassan Rouhani in June, he's a reformer. People were so upset about the state of the economy that they said, we have got to get in a reformer. We've got to get a more moderate leader in charge. Typically, in petrostates, when you're making a lot of money on oil, reforms stagnate.
Well, we'll be watching all these stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. And you can take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine and Joe Nocera with The New York Times. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
You.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.